Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Age of Radio.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Sup?
What's up?
Oh, just Highlander season. You know how it is.
Yeah. He is immortal.
I tell you, everything about the lore of the franchise becomes more baffling the quicker you watch everything.
What?
It's like, wait, but I thought in the last episode that would... Don't worry about that. What about the second movie? Don't you ever speak of it.
they mentioned that second movie like in the fifth episode of the first season.
Did they?
Well, he talks about like a fairy tale type thing in Bad Day at Building A, which kind of refers to them like being from a different planet.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, from Planet Zeist.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. Or the distant past where they had, you know, jetpacks and laser beams and shit.
Also, guys, I apologize. I'm going to cough from time to time. I'm still recovering from the pneumonias. Yeah. I also cannot drink because I'm still on antibiotics.
So I'll be drinking for two.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, Jen just left.
He's like, oh, wait, you want me to speak on this? Fuck that.
I knew Bad Day in Building A is a really horrible episode. I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, that's the one where he kills the janitor, I'm pretty sure.
Is that one?
That's the one where they're like in court, right?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, we'll save it for the pod.
Yeah, yeah.
Oop. I have questions about that because I have a theory.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. Magic.
Yay, we're good.
what was it?
I don't know.
Were you in driver safety mode?
I was not.
Yeah. All right, well, it's working now, so we should just jump right into it. No.
Yes.
I was born 400 years ago in the Highlands of Scotland. I am immortal, and I am not alone. Now is the time of the gathering, when the stroke of a sword will release the power of the quickening. In the end, there can be only one.
Here we are, born to be kings, we're the princes.
Hey, everybody, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is
Everything I Learned from Movies.
Mini episode. But it's definitely not going to be mini because
we are immortal.
And here we are. Guys, we're talking about the Highlander TV series.
Oh,
we watched all six seasons, but.
Yeah, we did.
We're not alone for this, babe.
Oh, thank God.
We have Highlander experts Michael Bagford and Jim from the History of Bad Ideas podcast. Welcome.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, not much. Just, you know, living for centuries. I'm assuming killing tens of thousands of people over the centuries. You know, just one a week, but it adds up after a while.
No, babe. The one a week we found out, like, season 5 is a new thing. He went like 200 years with only killing like one person.
Oh, well, that's right. Because of the gathering, it was starting. Starting to get that bloodthirst, but
yeah, he got that itch to be the only one. He just wanted some goddamn peace and quiet.
But before we would dive too deep into this, babe, I don't know about you.
Oh,
I'm a little sober.
Oh, and I'm just thirsty. Sorry, guys, the time of this here recording, I'm still recovering from pneumonia and I'm still on antibiotics.
Oh, what you got over there then?
Some doxycycline and never mind. I have. Excuse me, that's sexy. From Fever Tree Premium Ginger Beer, made with natural flavors, including exotic drink ginger. If you mix 3/4 of your drink in this mixer, it will mix the best.
Cool.
Pop my top.
My top.
And this is one of my cute little 5-ounce cans that I accidentally bought, but they're so cute. Steve, what are you drinking?
Oh, well, I got from Rogue Brewing out of Newport, Oregon. I got their Dead Guy Ale. Why that? Because, you know, Highlanders, they're not dead guys. I don't know. It's a Maibock, 6.8% alcohol by volume, 12-ounce can. My top.
I can't even hit that.
Yeah, that's why I'm helping.
Oh, stop.
And so you, we'll you know what it is. It's delicious.
We'll call it Undead Guy Ale this time.
It is immortal.
Are you guys drinking anything on your ends?
I am currently drinking a sparkling ice orange mango flavored.
Ooh. Sorry. Ooh.
But I am currently doing dry January, so I am not having any alcohol this month.
Ooh.
Oh,
sounds like you're starting 2024 on the wrong foot, my friend. But how about you, Mike?
I wish I was drinking that weird stuff that, like, Connor McCloud drinks in the movie, like that Ren Morgay stuff or whatever it is. But I'm just drinking a Coke.
Oh, the thing from like 1783 that we're like, oh, that's vinegar. That's what that is, sir.
Yeah, just straight up malt vinegar.
Nice little.
I mean, there was a time in my life where I would have just drank straight up malt vinegar.
But now you're not on crack? I don't know.
I don't know. I had some sort of vitamin deficiency.
I need vinegar in my veins, not just piss.
Dude, the little bottle of Trader Joe's balsamic, I would like pour myself like a half a shot.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I had a problem.
Mix it with some sparkling water. You got yourself a lowball.
I believe it's called like a shrewd or something.
Ooh.
Remember we tried one? Mm. Was that when they put the
the one farmer's market or whatever. Yeah,
that's yeah. Right.
Anyway, guys, we're talking about Highlander. Yes, it was a television series. It popped up right after the second movie, but before the third one. 119 episodes from 1992 to 1998. Mike, what's your history with the Highlander series, like the movies and the television series and whatnot?
Oh, with the television series, I think as a kid, I kind of remember seeing it like on USA or TNT or whatever it was on, but I don't think I really ever watched it at the time. I know my Uncle John was a big Highlander fan, and I think he actually had like one of the swords that you could order from like the catalog. Or whatever. Later, I started getting into the films, mainly the first one, because I was a big fan of the band Queen, and they did the music for that. And
yeah,
I started listening to podcasts a few years ago, and the host of Rock Solid was on this podcast called Highlander Rewatched, where they pretty much talked about Queen's music, and they they pretty much covered the whole Highlander TV series as well as the films. I watched their extensive episodes on the film, not watched, but listened to their extensive episodes on the films, and I really enjoyed them, but I had not seen the TV series yet. So I started watching the TV series, and I started really enjoying it. I think like the first time I saw Adrian Paul, Duncan MacLeod in a Highlander thing was actually Highlander Endgame. And this was like several years before I even saw the first Highlander film. So it was like one of the first Highlander films I watched. And I was not really impressed with Endgame at the time. And I was wondering, who in the hell is this Adrian Paul character trying to be like a Christopher Lambert in this film? But once I started watching the TV series, I think Duncan MacLeod is my favorite of the Highlanders.
Oh.
And I think I might actually like the series better than the first film, which I've always held in high regard.
Okay, interesting. How about you, Jim? What's your history with the Highlander, I don't know, cinematic universe, the HCU?
Yeah, when it came, again, I was a fan of the original movie, and when the second one, I just don't believe it exists. I might have watched it at one time or another time, but I think it's all gone now. But I was in like college when the television show was run, it was airing. And so I didn't watch it regularly then. I caught most of it in rewatch a few years later, but I was always a fan. I do like Duncan MacLeod better than Colin MacLeod too, or Connor MacLeod. So Michael's not alone in that.
You have more experience with Duncan rather than Connor, where it's, you know, six seasons of a TV show as opposed to 3.5 movies.
Yeah, he was in my house like every week, so I get to hang out with him a whole lot more.
Nice. And how about you, babe? What's your Highlander history?
I know I watched the first two movies with my dad, because that was the one thing my dad did, was expose us to ridiculous movies. excuse me. I didn't really watch the show. Like, I'm sure I saw an episode or something here and there, but didn't really watch it. But when I was 21 and I was in junior college, I was friends with these two amazing twins, two redheaded twins. Yeah. And they were the first, or they were one of the few people I knew who didn't have roommates, like, because they were each other's roommates. But like, they could have people over at their apartment because they didn't have to worry about waking up their roommate. And they had every single episode on VHS, and they had them on catwalk shelves around their living room. And if you line up all of the VHSs, it creates the Scottish Highlands.
Wait, VHSs or DVDs? VHSs. Oh no, yeah, shit, I guess VHSs. Yeah,
VHSs.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah. And they were like, and they had like the movie poster, or they had like a poster with like Duncan on it. I don't know what it was from. But they were like, oh my God, do you know the Highlander? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's that weird one where like Sean Connery is like a Spanish Egyptian or something. And they were like, no, you got to see the real one. And they picked like their favorite episode, and I don't remember what it was, but now rewatching it, I realize it was definitely season 5 or season 6 entry intro, because I was like watching the intro, I was like, not impressed. And you could not convince me that the real Queen did the music. I was like, nope, this is a knockoff. Not because I didn't think the music was good, but because I thought Queen was too good for a TV show.
I mean, technically it was for the movie 6 years before, but yeah, I get it. Yeah. First one was one of my dad's favorite movies. The second one we watched once and thought we had rented the wrong movie. The TV series, I knew it existed, but I was on like USA, and I don't think we had like cable at the time or whatever. And by the time we did, it was like season 4. So I knew it was like on before Renegade or something like that. But if I caught an episode, it was like, you know, whatever episodic thing was going on, it was like, oh yeah, this is cool, or oh, I don't care, click. No, let's see what's on MTV. Maybe Beavis and Butthead is on or something. And then yeah, the other movies, yeah, the third movie I'd seen a bunch. Because yeah, I rented it, and Deborah Unger's hot as shit. And then yeah, Endgame and The Source. I didn't even
know they existed.
Yeah, I didn't know existed until we got the five pack or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now we own all of them. Yay! So you guys out there may be wondering, what the hell TV series? Yeah. So from 90 to 98, 119 episodes, lots of directors, but I guess about a third of the episodes were directed by Dennis Barry. There's also five episodes by Mario Azzopardi and three from Jorge Montesi. Mike, why would these names sound familiar?
You gotta tell me, who are they, Steve?
Well, Mario and Jorge directed, I'd say, just more than half of the 22 episodes of Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. So a few years later, they came over and did some Highlander.
I almost forgot I did a whole show about that.
That's right. You can check our past episodes. Let's go through all the Captain Power and Soldiers of the Future episodes. That's right. The 1987 Canadian children's show set in a post-apocalyptic future. It's great. And yeah, we mentioned Adrian Paul. Who's he? Well, he plays Duncan MacLeod in all 119 episodes. And he was in, okay, here's his filmography here. 20 episodes of War of the Worlds in the 1980s there. Three episodes of Dark Shadows. One episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Hey.
By the way, was he, did we find out if he was a real ballerina or not? So I know he wasn't that episode, but
hold on, let me go
make a lot of sense.
Future Steve, I believe he was a dancer.
Yeah, but then he started getting into movies like Love Potion Number 9.
Love Potion Number 9.
That's right, the Sandra Bullock, Tate Donovan vehicle. Check it out, everybody. Dead Men Can't Dance, where I'm assuming he's a dancer. I'm gonna say. Then this movie called The Breed. And then after this, 22 episodes of a show called Tracker, where he's the lead. We might have to check that out. I saw it was on Tubi.
Hey.
And then we start getting into movies like Eyeborgs, Cold Fusion, A.E., Apocalypse Earth, Stormageddon.
Yeah.
And then he popped up in three episodes of Arrow as Dante and a movie called Wildfire, The Legend of Cherokee Ghost Horse.
All right.
There we go.
All right, I've got it. Adrian Paul was born in London. He is British.
He's British.
He was a dancer and then choreographer as a teenager. Oh. He was also a capable football player, guessing.
A kicker?
Oh, he played for the Cray Wanderers in London Spartan League. Okay. Then he moved to the U.S. to pursue a career in dance and modeling. He was then picked up by 1987's Beauty and the Beast series.
Oh, shit. Ron Perlman and Linda Hamilton, right?
Yeah, that's a show I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I believe me and my sister called it the Ugly Kitty Show.
Yeah.
Because
shout out to Ron Perlman.
We would have been like 5 and 6.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But like, I'm like, Mom, we watched a show with an ugly kitty man in it.
Island of Dr. Moreau.
Sam Jerome's just like, that's great, kids.
Nice.
Apparently, he's also in a couple of music videos as well. He was in Duran Duran's My Own Way from 1981 and Queensryche's Eyes of a Stranger from 1988. I did not know that.
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, okay, yeah. So my dad, huge Queensryche fan, and I guess I am too. He had the VHS of like all the music videos or whatever. And now that you mentioned that, like, yeah, he was definitely in that.
I'm trying to place him from that video.
Man, I'm gonna have to find a copy of that somewhere. Maybe it's on YouTube or something. But yeah, let's see. But yeah, who else was in this show? Well, we can't have just the Highlander. That would be nuts. Second billing goes to Stan Kirsch as Richie Ryan, everybody's favorite comedic sidekick, right?
Jesus fucking Christ. Although
107 episodes.
Oh, that is 100 too many. But I will say Richie has probably the best exit in the show.
I mean,
and I did not believe it. I think
there's only like two people that really exit the show.
And I did not believe it for like three more episodes. I was like, nope, they're gonna bring this bitch back.
Yeah, but you might know him from Streets of Beverly Hills, this, two episodes of JAG, and six of Invincible. That's it. That's all I really got. He's in other things, but I never heard of any of them. And we have, you know, we'll start with season one here, where we have Alexandra van der Noot as Tessa.
Yeah, Tessa.
Well, 27 episodes as Tessa and one episode as Lisa Hall, but we'll get to that. She's a Belgian actress. Basically, this is really the biggest thing she was in. And I found this out. Apparently, she left the show to be with her family. Like, it wasn't like they wrote her out or whatever. She was just like, I'm kind of done. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. We got an idea.
I want to be a mom.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, good for her. Good for her. let's see. Third billing, we got Jim Burns as Joe Dawson, who's a musician and voice actor. And guys, I'll tell you, it was early season five when I realized Joe didn't have legs.
I don't know how you didn't know that.
Because he just walked with a limp, and I was like, okay, it's a guy with a bad knee and blah, blah, blah.
The first episode he showed up and told you.
Babe, you know I don't listen. But yeah, it was like season five when I was like, wait, why Lieutenant Dan ain't got no legs? That's what happens when we watch the show at the end of the day, I think.
There is that, yeah. That was our nighttime show, going to bed show. So also the original, not mortician in CSI, who's the guy who carves up the dead bodies and eats sandwiches?
Yeah, mortician or
coroner. The first coroner, the older guy, also had no legs. Oh. They didn't make a big thing of it in the show because he asked them not to. Like, he uses a cane and he hobbles around. Yeah. But he said he just wanted to be a disabled actor playing a mostly abled character and it shouldn't even matter. And they just never made it a thing.
Well, there you go. Well, he's not just a legless musician. No, he's also in 16 episodes of Camp Candy, 74 of Wise Guy, 19 of G.I. Joe, Omen 4, The Awakening, not to be confused with The Quickening, 1992's Dirty Work, five episodes of Conan the Adventurer, 65 episodes of Sonic the Hedgehog, 20 of Madeline, 26 of Double Dragon. He's Merlin on King Arthur and the Knights of Justice, if anybody remembers that show. he's Dr. Light in 27 episodes of Mega Man. He was in 97 episodes of this. He was in Beast Wars. He was in RoboCop Alpha Command. Roswell Conspiracies, Aliens, Myths, and Legends. Apparently he was the narrator on like 40 episodes of those. He's in Spider-Man Unlimited. And Alienator's Evolution Continued, whatever that is. And 13 episodes of Andromeda and 26 of Stargate Infinity. And beyond.
Yeah. Well,
he's kept busy.
Yeah. 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 So what do we think of Joe in the show?
I like his character in the show.
Yeah.
I like Joe. I liked him, excuse me, better in earlier seasons. I feel like they utilized him better. He sort of became a MacGuffin fix it towards in later seasons.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked his character, and I thought that the quality of his character was very good the whole show. They just didn't utilize him fully.
Yeah, he basically comes in season two. He's a member of these watchers who have observed the immortals.
Season two.
Season two. Yeah. And they
watchers have been there. They've been there the entire time, but we just didn't know about them.
Exactly. But you know, Duncan finds out about them, and they become friends. And I don't know. At some points, I swear they were goddamn dating or something. The way they fight, but But yeah, not bad. But yeah, he's definitely exposition dumped the character in a lot of episodes because he's like, oh, you're looking to this guy? Well, his name is, I don't know, Konos or whatever, and he's dot 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 dot, you
Yeah.
know.
I'll agree with Izzy. I liked them better early seasons when there was more of a antagonistic thing with him and Duncan, when they weren't buddy buddy the entire time.
They were like spies, but they were like, you know, there was the mutual respect or whatever. Like, they know they're, you know, like, you're not supposed to know about us, but, you know, I can help you. You seem like one of the good ones, kind of thing. But towards the end, it was like, okay, Joe, first off, you're not even part of the Watchers anymore. Yeah, I don't know. You have a bar in France or whatever, or the city, depending on what part of the season
He
we're in.
owns both bars. He somehow mans both bars. I, at some point, just assumed that there were actually two Joes. They were twins.
Oh
One
shit.
is Joseph, and one is,
Jose.
no, he's a, was it JoJo
Oh
Shabadoo? Joey
yeah. Yeah,
JoJo
Joey JoJo shall
Shabadoo? Sorry, Simpsons joke in there.
JoJo,
If you don't get that joke, you're under 40. Yeah, I just assumed there were two Joes.
there you go. Well, instead, there was another character that came in, I think around season three or whatever, Peter Wingfield as Adam Pearson, aka Methos.
Not gonna lie, I fucking love Bezos.
Yeah.
He is what the show needed.
Yeah. Who's Methos, babe?
He is, as far as we know, the oldest immortal. And it's because he hates a fight. He hears a swing and he runs.
He hears a short get in the sheath and he's like, smoke. Yeah, he's like the oldest one, but also he's introduced because he's a member of the Watchers. And then we find out, like, whoa, wait, he's the oldest immortal. He's just
He's
been hiding in
Adam,
plain sight as one of the Watchers.
which
And
is
then
fucking genius.
yeah, but you may be wondering, what else has he been in? Well, he was in 31 episodes of Highlander, 17 of Cold Squad. I assume that's some sort of like cold case show.
Yeah.
21 of Queen of Swords. Hey, there we go. He's got a type. He was Dr. Slavicky in 2004's Catwoman.
Hey.
He was Crow in Super Babies, colon Baby Geniuses 2.
Oh
Yeah.
no. So he's made excellent choices.
He was in two episodes of The L Word, possibly the greatest show ever made on cable. Anybody else have watched every single episode of The L Word? No?
Guys, I've never seen one episode of The L Word. Steve watched all of this before I even met him.
That's right.
And in fact, I think about a week before the first time I spent the night at your house, you'd won a gift basket with like five seasons of The
That's
L Word,
right.
and you had them proudly displayed in your room on a shelf.
I sure did. 45 episodes of Holby City, which I assume is relate next door to Hobie City.
Right next door.
Right next door. Six episodes of Caprica, that's the Battlestar Galactica spin-off there after like six or seven seasons. And 11 episodes of 10,000 Days. So like less than 0.1% of the show. But yeah, so yeah, Methos, all right. Okay, that he comes back in the movies.
I mean, I'm down.
All right.
I'm okay with Methos, but I thought they had to add him since they had a character like that early on, but then had to kill him off in Darius.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. We'll skip to it. Darius, played by Werner Stucker.
By the way, it didn't help that Methos and Darius looked exactly the same.
Exactly.
And
They
even
don't
when they were
remember.
having fucking flashbacks of them,
Yeah.
I was having trouble keeping track of them
Like, wait, I
sometimes.
thought it was Darius that was back in World War One. Like, no, that is Darius. Oh, is that Methos? Yeah. Yeah,
Darius!
so
By the way, Steve screamed
Darius!
that at the pets for like 6 months straight.
Every time. Oh my God, I think it happens at least two dozen times during the course of the show
Oh,
where
yeah.
we have a flashback to Duncan running up into the church, looking down at a pile of chairs and screaming, Darius! But as mentioned, played by Werner Stucker, who's a German actor, and actually won Best Younger Actor 1983 in Germany
Oh.
He was in lots of German stuff, and he was even in 1987's TV movie The Dirty Dozen: The Deadly Mission. And then he did five episodes of this towards the end of season one. And then you know why he didn't come back, babe?
Because they killed him off?
Unfortunately, he passed away in 1993 at the age of 38 of a
Oh my
brain tumor.
God.
Yeah, so
Dark.
that may have just been like last minute rewriting or something, unfortunately. Yeah, I was like, oh, Darius!
Darius. Well, if he had a brain tumor, he would have been having some symptoms. So maybe he has to no longer be part of the show.
Maybe, yeah, I could see that.
Unfortunately, he did not have the blood of kings.
He's not immortal. Well, okay, so his start,
He's
so his
totally
character,
mortal.
his character Darius, though he's been around for, gosh, it was at least 1,000 years or whatever. Because I remember in the flashbacks, he was like in the Middle Ages and stuff. But it was because he was just hanging out as like a monk or a priest or whatever on holy ground. And as everyone knows, you can't fight on holy ground.
Nope.
Guys, would that be your go-to method if you were? Okay, guys, if you're immortal, I'll bring it up now. How are you getting through the days? Like, are you going through and like slaying people so you become, I don't know, smarter, stronger, faster, more intelligent, whatever? You're going around killing magician immortals so you can become a magician, or I don't know, someone who knows how to play chess but doesn't want to learn on their own.
I feel like if I had become an immortal, I probably would like misunderstood it and spent like 100 years like eating hearts or something. And somebody's like, "You don't have to do that. You just have to cut off their heads." Oh, son of a bitch!
Oh, really? Okay. How about you, Mike?
I wouldn't be quoting Broadband. I know that for sure.
Nice. How about you, Jim? How are you doing? You know, people are coming after you with swords. Are you lying low? Are you, I don't know, picky
I'd be
upstairs?
lying low in like cemeteries and in churches, but then I'd also be out like mowing down people in cars and just being like dirtiest, cheapest immortal out there.
You wouldn't be having your own goddamn Blackwater team or whatever shoot them up, and then you walk up and take off their heads. Oh, gee, why would I say that?
No, Jim's
That means that we
definitely
have to
more.
share.
Jim's definitely more the guy who hung out at the monastery, and then when immortals went to take a little stroll into town, takes him out in the woods.
Yeah, so the character that does do that, have the SWAT team or whatever, that is Roland Gift as Xavier St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Mike, do you know who Roland Gift is?
Yes, he's the lead singer of Fine Young Cannibals.
Yeah.
Neutrality.
Yeah.
No one else.
Yeah, when I looked that up and saw that, I was like, holy crap, it is. Okay.
There are lots of singers in this show.
Yeah, we'll get to the special guest stars list too, but wow. But yeah, so Roland here, Xavier St. Cloud, he's in five episodes, and across like three or four different seasons too. Like he's got the first one
Yeah.
where, what is it? He like gas, it like uses mustard gas to rob
Yeah.
stores, and then he like loses his hand towards the end of that two
Right.
episode
And
thing.
then we answer a very important question.
Go for
So if an immortal is, sort of taken apart, but their head's not removed from their torso, like, can they come back together? Turns out they cannot. They were not careful.
There you go.
Because we were talking about that, like, what if like you just put half an immortal in a wood chipper? You have the bottom half. Like, would he be fine the next morning? Because obviously the top half.
At the left half, or see if that grows back. I don't know.
Well,
Well,
there's one episode in like season one where like Duncan knocks an immortal off a boat, and that immortal gets crushed by the boat motor, and he does not come back at all.
no, but they sort of tease that he could.
Yeah, wasn't that
Well, he got the
Hudson?
quickening though,
Oh, okay, never mind.
because he went right into the blade, and his body parts went everywhere.
So then here's my question that's still not answered. If you slice in a wordle in half, like long ways, like hot dog wise,
But like down the middle? Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like along the spine, like you just cut him in half that way. You have not decapitated him, but apparently he won't just glue back together. So then he just live in a permanent state of.
Maybe that'll be answered in the Chad Stahelski directed Henry Cavill starring reboot they're planning on doing.
And then, like, what if so mortals, are born? What happens if the mom dies before the baby is born? Is there just like a fetal immortal stuck
Oh.
in there, dying over and over and over again?
Just buried with the mom, just underground, not ringing that
Yeah.
bell. Yeah, see, these are the things Zazie and I think of while we're watching shows.
What we're
And we're
like in
like,
our
gee, I
therapy.
can't wait for an episode to never answer this because it's too goddamn crazy.
Although Steve did conjure it. He did ask what would happen if an immortal was born and with special needs.
That's right, he
And we
sure
got an episode.
did.
Steve, who was the actor who played that
Oh,
character?
that's Pruitt Vince Taylor.
Where do we know him from?
Well, shit, we've seen him in
X
recently
Files.
in X-Files, Red Heat, and Canine. Was it Canine? Yeah, Canine, where he played, what was it, Benny the Mule or whatever. We're like, well, that's
Right?
not who I was expecting. More on him later, maybe. So yeah, who else we got? Hey, how about the other love interests of
Oh,
Duncan? Because if
yeah.
you're immortal, you gotta have plenty of hot and cold running boontang,
Especially after your hot French model passes away.
right?
Then you just have to find an immortal so she doesn't die on you.
I mean, you would think that would be easy and no problems there, but Elizabeth Grayson as Amanda Dario.
Yeah.
She was Miss America 1982. Did you guys know
No.
right?
And she's cute as hell. I get it.
Yeah. She started off acting in well, the first one I noticed was Death of the Incredible Hulk 1990, which, if I
No
remember
shit.
correctly, involved him falling out of a helicopter or something. I don't know, it was a while back. Let's see, March for Death, the Steven Seagal classic. Two episodes of Renegade, of course. Two episodes of Murder, She Wrote. Yep, watch those two. 29 episodes of this. And then, spoilers, 22 episodes of the spinoff Highlander colon The Raven.
Hey.
There you go.
Oh, that's a rough show.
I think we saw it was on tube and we're like, oh, do we want to, you know what? We'll wait. We'll let this one marinate a bit. But there's also Lisa Howard as Dr. Anne Lindsay.
Oh, God damn it. She is the worst woman on this show.
Well, as an actress, Lisa Howard was in Rolling Vengeance, Moonstruck, War of the Roses, 285 episodes of Days of Our Lives, 22 of this, and she was Smurfette in 1999 Smurfs, and in 49 episodes of Earth, Final Conflict. So, babe, you didn't like Dr. Anne Lindsay?
No, she looks like a fucking chipmunk.
Oh, shit.
She, and then her character is too fucking pushy
She really
to,
is. She.
she's real fucking pushy, but then, oh, just a second. It's the animal hospital.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
One.
This is her daughter, Elizabeth. I can take it for her. Good, how are you?
One moment, gentlemen. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we took Homer, Izzy's mom's dog, to the vet today, and they were doing some blood work and stuff. So I'm guessing these are the results, though it's what, 7 o'clock at night? That's good for them. So what do you guys think about Dr. Anne?
Forgettable.
Yeah, like Izzy was starting to say, yeah, she's she's just her old character was just very much like she was really into Duncan's business, and of course he was obviously trying to deflect and all that, but she's totally like to the point of like spying on him and just forcing herself into everybody else's situation. Like, I don't know, something be happening on the street and she's like, it's okay, I'm a doctor, I can settle this for you or whatever. It was very irritating.
Plus, Duncan could do a lot better, I think, than her.
I mean, yeah. he doesn't need a doctor, you know? He's just... he's like Wolverine. He doesn't need that shit. Oh, I realize we didn't really talk much about Amanda. What do we think about Amanda, the lovely immortal in this show?
I like her. She's hot, but she did kind of get on my nerves on a few episodes, and she's not all that great in Highlander, the Raven spinoff.
I liked her character. Again, I liked her just showing up randomly rather than consecutive episodes in a row. Just pops up whenever she wants, whenever she needs something.
Yeah, they have a very on again, off again relationship over the last 300 years or whatever. But
yep.
she always just kind of comes up and it's like, hey, so my latest scheme is dot dot dot, you know. And of course, Duncan's like, oh, I can't do that. That's very bad. And in his wonderful French Scottish accent or whatever he's got, but she's like, oh, come on. Or she would just like trick him into doing something and then like, okay, well, now we're robbing a bank, or, you know.
And you're going to need to kill this guy. He's been following me for the last like 25 years.
Only because I screwed him over at like $500,000. No big deal. We're immortals. Live and let die, as they say. What? Nobody says that. Oh, there can only be one? Is that the thing?
Well, maybe since my baby mama's name is Amanda, maybe sometimes Amanda strikes me in the wrong way sometimes on some episodes, so.
You're just like, drop that shit, Duncan, get rid of it. Move on.
Can't be good for you.
You know what? Take her head while she's asleep. Just remember to lay the tarp down first, less questions. Let's see who else we got on this show. Oh yeah, we have Philip Aiken as Charlie DeSalvo for about the first two seasons, I think he's around.
Mostly second season.
Yeah.
Duncan buys the dojo from him.
Yep.
That's right. Oh, the dojo. Yeah, so okay, so Duncan's two main living quarters. When he's living in the city, he's in the he's in the apartment above the gym that he owns and Charlie runs or whatever. But from what I understand, half the people come up, you know, the freight elevator or whatever to get up to his studio apartment. And the rest just come down from the roof on his little spiral staircase that he has that goes up there. And I assume no locking doors whatsoever. The doors are always open. The gym, his apartment, the roof access, just everybody willy-nilly just kind of pops up.
He's an awfully trusting guy for being immortal and have seen everything. Yeah. Well, yeah, come on in. Everybody's welcome.
Nice. Well, you may be interested to know Philip Aiken, the actor, over 170 credits, including he was Anthony Rivers in Insect/Blue Monkey. Check out our Grandbin episode on that one. He was in FX2. He was one of the detectives on there. He was a state trooper in the Dennis Leary classic, The Ref. 16 episodes of this. He was the voice of Bishop in the X-Men cartoon. That's right. Let's see. Fly Away Home. Woo. He's even in an episode of Highlander the Raven, but as Simon Clark, not Charlie DeSalvo. What else is he? Pushing 10. He was the minister in In Too Deep, the Omar Epps Hello Cool J classic. He was in Kirk Cameron's Left Behind. That's all I need to know about that. He was in the Samuel L. Jackson, Eugene Levy comedy, The Man. And he was the Reverend in Get Rich or Die Trying. Sorry, the 50 Cent movie. So yeah, Charlie, good guy. Yeah, see, we find out he was basically, what was it, in Nam? He was in Nam or whatever, and that's where he had, like, army training?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, it was that far back. Okay, because I was like, wait, how old is he supposed to be? Because I was thinking, like, in the, you know, 30s or whatever, it's like, oh, yeah, he was in some things, like, in the early 80s, like, what would that even been? Like, when we were trying to take over South America? But I don't know. Let's see who else we got in this show. We have Michel Modeau as Maurice. So when Duncan's living in France, the other half of the series, he lives on a houseboat, basically overlooking Notre Dame, it looks like. And I'm like, wow, nobody else lives there. Why does he get to live there? Rich, I guess. I don't know. But Maurice is his, I don't know, neighbor on a houseboat we'll never see, but he just kind of, again, unlocked doors all the time, I guess, just kind of lets himself in, or always, or I guess for the first, was it at the end of season one, beginning of season two, when he's in France with Maurice?
Yeah, end of season one.
Yeah.
And then they move back to the States in season two.
Yeah. But Michel Modeau, obviously a French dude, over 100 credits. Nothing else I've seen, though. So a bunch of French stuff. And Mike, this Roger Daltrey, who plays Hugh Fitzcairn, who was he a musician before he became an actor?
Who
are you talking about?
Roger
lead singer of The Who, Daltrey? Roger Daltrey. Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy himself.
Hugh Fitzcairn himself.
Yeah, Hugh Fitzcairn. Yeah, Duncan's buddy for, yeah, about 300 years there. Spoilers, he does die in an episode in, what, like season four or something, but that doesn't mean Roger Daltrey doesn't stop coming back.
Yeah, he comes yep. back quite a lot.
Yeah, we get some definite flashback episodes. Hold on, gentlemen. My dog's being a douche. One moment.
Sushi is being a douche? Yeah, it seems like every time I'm on an episode with Steve and Izzy, like, Sushi acts up their dog. I seem to bring out the assholishness in Sushi, I guess.
It's got to be the tone of your voice. It's like, I'm not him again.
Maybe he's not a big Who fan. But yeah, Hugh's one of my favorite characters in the series. Like, he's like, Roger Daltrey is a pretty good actor in these episodes.
I enjoy him in these.
What was that, Jim?
So I do enjoy him in these two. I am currently watching like the third last episode, the second last episode, where he's showing him what his life would be like without Duncan in it. Because like the last two episodes, just yeah, those two guys looking around.
That was actually a couple of decent episodes from that last season. I kind of forgot about those.
Yeah,
the ones of Roger Daltrey in the last season are probably the ones that kind of stand out, because I, for the life of me, I can't really remember what happens in season six. I know there's like a long period where he doesn't even use his sword because he kills Richard Ryan.
Yeah,
we'll get over that. But yeah, basically, it's when they're trying to do a bunch of spinoffs of other immortals coming in, and like they got the Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat Annihilation coming in for an episode, and yeah, it's not great. But yeah, sorry. I think Izzy and her mom are scheduling a surgery for Homer the dog, so maybe a few minutes. I don't know. I also know Izzy's mom doesn't sabotage every single thing she does, because I don't know, she wants to be babied and have everybody do stuff for her. Don't worry about it. 3 months. It's already been 3 months. Can't wait.
Hey.
What up, beautiful?
On hold for 10 minutes and nobody answered to make the appointment, so I hung up.
Oh, there we go.
Ain't got time for this shit. I'll call tomorrow when I have more time.
There you go.
For shit. So sorry about that, gentlemen.
No worries.
Fine.
My mom's elderly dog has gotten a couple of skin cysts that need to come off, and he needs a couple teeth pulled. So they did his blood work today. So apparently they just called, and then they were like, oh, we can book that surgery immediately. Here, let me send you the receptionist. And then 10-minute hold later, can't be bothered to get back to me. That's my limit. That's like, if you can't even switch over to the phone, just be like, hey, I'm so sorry, I'm rushed. Please continue holding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, but before you left, you had some thoughts about Dr. Ann?
Oh, she's too push. Her character's too pushy about problems, but then for some reason she becomes a weird weeping puddle when she's around Duncan, and it's just her whole character is really problematic. Is she a strong, independent woman, or is she a sad little weeping puddle? Make a fucking choice.
There you go.
Versus the blonde FBI lady, she's a strong, independent woman who puts her foot down and is like, "Look, if you can't tell me some truth and answer some questions, then we just can't do this. We'd be like a one night stand, but we're not going to be a thing." And she has her weeping puddle moments too, because
Yeah, of
fun
course.
fact,
And
their writing for women is not the strongest.
but
But
what about Amanda?
oh, Amanda's problematic, but she's awesome.
She's the fun girl,
Yeah.
the one
you. And that's how I describe my baby mama, Amanda, as well.
Oh,
Oh,
problematic but fun.
yeah. Well,
Excellent.
she's a good mom to save, so it's all fine. We get along fine. I'm gonna put that out there in case she listens.
I heard like we actually have a our top Patreon fan is called Michael Bagford's baby mama. So, I mean, don't we have one Patreon who we've like just never heard from?
Oh yeah, we got one, but yeah, the I doubt it's
Yeah, no.
yeah,
No,
probably
it's not Michael Bagford's baby mama.
not. All right, Kat, you need Pickles is just being a dick now too.
You may toss it upstairs.
Nah, whatever.
Wait, is she down here?
He's outside right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I put him out like 5 minutes ago. And yeah, as we were saying, Roger Daltrey is Hugh Fitzcairn.
Love him, and they made a huge mistake killing him off,
Well, that's why
and
they
they
didn't bring him
realized
back.
that
Yeah.
in flashbacks, but like they should have not killed Fitzcairn.
Well, I'm sure it was they were going back on tour or whatever, but then he's like, "Well, I'm back. Where do I pay?" I'm like, "Oh, remember we killed you?" He's like, "Yeah, but Highlanders, and we come back, and if Connery can do it, I can do it."
Right?
It's like I was there.
Perfect. Majestic.
But you may be wondering, what else would I know Roger Daltrey in, and if I watch only movies and don't listen to the radio? Well, Tommy, he was in Tommy, which I still haven't seen, but I should probably check out. The Legacy, McVicar, Mack the Knife, and of course, everybody remembers him as Blade in If Looks Could Kill.
Oh.
And John T. Coles in the Paul Hogan Cuba Gooding Jr. classic, Lightning Jack. But
Yeah.
yeah, I can say crickets, crickets, crickets. All right. 7 episodes of this. Apparently he was in Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff video. Mike, can you confirm this?
I don't think he was, but
It said on IMDb, and I was like, oh, maybe they had the Who playing in the background or something. I don't know. 2 episodes of Witchblade. Yeah. And he was in an episode of Once Upon a Time as the Caterpillar in the Alice in Wonderland season, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. Weird. Thank
I'm gonna
you.
throw this old man cat out upstairs too, because this is annoying.
He sure is.
Oh, he looked cold and wet.
Well, that's what happens when he goes outside when it's snowing. Why'd you go, boy?
You're a good boy. That's all you got, though.
Yep.
That's all you got.
Well, for a good say, for a good series, you need a good villain, right? Well, we may not have a great villain for the most plentiful episodes, but Peter Hudson as James Horton. Who's he? Yeah, he's basically, I guess he was like the leader of the Watchers, but then he was like the leader of an off sect of the Watchers who thought they should just start killing the immortals. And then he starts coming back in like flashbacks and just randomly like, oh, he escaped, but then he came back a season later, and I don't know, whatever. It's not, obviously not one of my favorite story arcs, but whatever. But Peter Hudson, the actor, was in over 100 things, and apparently he was an English teacher before he decided to become an actor. All right. He was a sax player in Prelude to a Kiss, which I believe, wasn't that the Meg Ryan, Gerard Depardieu?
I don't know. I don't watch those kinds of movies.
He was in 12 episodes of this. He was Mr. Price in Hitman. And then, babe, he's in one of your favorite movies of all time. He is President Warnock in Lockout, aka Space Jail. And then he followed that up with being Captain Crawford in Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. Apparently him and Luc Besson are buddies. He was a And then he was a magistrate in The Last Duel, another one of your favorite movies. What was he only right four times in the Middle Ages?
Fuck that movie. Fuck that movie. Fucking canceled.
But babe, it's okay. Because then he starred as Father Ridley in The Nun 2.
Oh, that made everything better. That's The Nun 2. That's the peak of the Conjuring universe right there.
Apparently. It's like, wait, did it come out? Yeah. All right, now we start getting into some of the more bit actors and stuff in this. Kristen Minter as Rachel McLeod for a couple of episodes.
So when he fucked his...
Yeah, he fucked his great grandniece or whatever.
He can't have kids, so it's his cousin.
Yeah, something like that. But you might know the actress Kristen Minter as Heather in Home Alone. Cat in Cool as Ice. Yeah. She was in three episodes of this as, I don't know, the... So, you know, as we all know from the Highlander lore, every year in the city of Glenfinnan, all the McLeods meet up for a big family reunion. And, Connor McLeod goes there all the time, but I guess so does Duncan every once in a while. And that's where he meets his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandniece in an episode when, trying to remember why he went back there. It was something to do with, like, the sword that was up in the bar that she ran, right?
Oh, yes. So it was the McLeod sword, but it was the sword that was supposed to be on Connor's first wife's grave.
Oh, yes, and that's
He originally went back not for the family gathering,
on my birthday.
Yes, he went back because somebody in the city sold him a bracelet that belonged to Duncan's first wife, which means they had exhumed his grave, so he went back
bracelet thing
to bury it back in her grave, and then he saw that the sword had been removed from the grave, and he knew that that was Connor's.
He knew the heads would roll because of it. Mm. All right.
So, and then they all tagged him as the guy who'd been grave robbing.
Mm-hmm.
But then his great 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 grandniece catches him putting the sword and the bracelet back. So then, like, he could never be a grave robber. He's just a grave digger.
There you go. You may also know her as Randy Franjak in 71 episodes of ER, if you watch that show.
Who?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't believe how you pronounce that show.
Did either of you lovely gentlemen watch ER?
I did watch ER.
Is it worth it?
The early seasons are really good, but once they start, killing off... the original members, it kind of goes downhill pretty quick. But when you have it with Dr. Green and Anthony Edwards or George Clooney and those, it was pretty good.
Nice. And I guess the other one I want to mention is Tracy Scoggins as Cassandra. Yes, you may know her from random TV episodes in the 80s, The Gumshoe Kid, Demonic Toys and Dollman versus Demonic Toys, stuff like that. But she was in three episodes of this, and she's a witch.
Oh, I actually liked her character, and I felt like, again, another character that could have been really cool and if well utilized, but was sort of just played off as a gimmick and then buried.
Yeah. So babe, do you remember your problem you had with her?
What's the problem I had with her?
Well, okay, so she's a witch living in the Highlands of Scotland when Duncan is but a wee lad, like maybe 14, they say, whatever. And this is where they see the old witch of the moor or whatever, and it's this, you know, fairly fetching young lady. But they're like, no, you've been here for hundreds of years. Like, yes, I have. But she senses something special in this young Duncan MacLeod.
Yep.
And,
she can sense his quickening.
It gets kind of weird. And then they end up banging later. I don't think he was 14 when they banged for the first time, but he was definitely 20-ish. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, she, yeah.
And then again, 400 years later, because they're immortals, but yeah.
You know, the whole Highlander universe is sort of filled with a lot of like, I raised you like my own daughter, and then I married you like my wife, and then I buried you like my mother.
Then I banged your great great granddaughter.
Like, it's all over the place, and it's
Yeah.
kind of, I mean,
Yeah,
problematic.
all the world is Eskimo Bros in the Highlander universe.
Right.
They're not just slaying heads, am I right? No? Okay. But guys, there's also some really good fucking guest stars for like one episode. Like, I mean, for one, RIP, we have Richard Maul in the pilot as the knockoff
Yeah.
Kurgan. See, we had Andrew Devoff, the Wishmaster himself, showed up in a couple
Yeah.
episodes.
Connor McLeod was in the first episode too.
Christopher Lambert, friend of the podcast, Anthony DeLongis pops up in two episodes in like season two and season five, I want to say. Kolchak, or not Kolchak, Krychek from X-Files.
X-Files.
Wes Studi, Joan Jett, Ron Perlman, Vanity, Joey Pants, J.G.
Oh, I remember the
Ertzler.
vanity one like threw you through a loop.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what? Roddy Piper shows up in a goddamn episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Any other favorite guest stars? I don't know. Sheena Easton, I think, pops up in one.
I think there's like six of the Prince girls are in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of them. Nia Peoples as Nefertiti.
Oh my God.
I know that's Izzy's favorite episode.
Do you guys remember when Duncan MacLeod found an immortal in a mummy's sarcophagus in a
Yep.
museum? And she spoke perfect English,
Yeah.
but he had to catch her up to date on things like toasters. Anyone else not? Was anybody else waiting for like her to be like, yeah, sorry, I'm actually from Brooklyn and this is a con I pull on immortals all the time?
Pulling a Tim Curry at the end of Congo in
Yeah.
Steve's mind.
I was waiting for it. That would have made that episode two full stars better.
There's no language barrier in this.
That's right.
There's no language barrier for immortals. They can all just read
That's
each
right.
other's
It's part of the
minds.
quickening. Oh, that's it. She killed somebody immediately after she got out of the museum or whatever. And then it was like, oh, this is what English is. Okay. We also have Tex Cobb showed up for an episode. Dougray Scott. Musetta Vander, aka Sindel from Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and Sandra Hess, Sonya Blade from that one.
Hey.
Mark Singer, the Beastmaster, showed up. Jason Isaacs from Event
Oh,
Horizon
yeah.
and the Harry Potter series. Tracy Lords, Molly Parker, Lori Holden, also just like Captain Power in Soldier's Future, Barry Pepa, and Grindbin All-Star Richard Lynch.
Yeah.
I think the guy that plays the henchman in Octopussy is in the episode as well.
Oh, is that Jonathan Banks? I haven't
Oh,
seen
we forgot
Octopussy in
about
forever.
him. Like,
Yeah, yes, I know he was in one too. Sorry, you said henchman, and for some reason he popped in like, oh yeah, he was in an episode.
it was the Indian henchman from Octopussy. I think it was the one that it was in that episode with Molly Parker as well. I forget the actor's name right now, though, or his character's name in Octopussy.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. So, guys, I guess what we're saying is, man, this was a '90s series.
Then one of the 90th series that ever 90'd in the history of 90s.
But again, when you kill off people every episode, you need to bring in so many guest stars.
Yeah. I can see like the casting director's like a Rolodex, like just like, hey, you want to be in an episode? No, you're busy. How about next week? Okay, a month from now. All right, cool. All right, Sheehan. You okay with being I don't know, an Egyptian goddess or whatever? I don't know.
I think it's more
Sure.
like, oh my God, oh my God, Vanity's on the lot. Think we can get her for like 2 hours of shooting?
Yeah. Vanity, quick, we need you to pretend to like Adrian Paul. Ooh, this tall hunk of meat. Yeah, perfect.
No, Vanity was definitely taller than Adrian Paul.
I mean, probably.
Mythos was taller than Adrian Paul. And we established that Mythos was barely taller than a countertop.
Yeah.
It's always funny because, like, I mean, let's face it, the good looking guys are, many good looking guys are often small because they're all like compact, like guys for, you know, like Tom Cruise and that,
yeah,
for shows like that. And then there's very tall, good looking guys who you could never film, like Steve, because everybody,
yeah, like
would,
me and Sven L. Thorsen.
Yeah, because, yeah, everybody else just comes up to your waist.
It's true. It's really weird, Tom Cruise cricking his neck all the way up.
Who's the shortest?
Or talking to my crotch.
Who's the shortest celebrity you've met, Steve?
Salma Hayek.
Was it Salma Hayek or was it from AC/DC?
I mean, Angus Young. And yeah, Angus Young's very small, but.
Was he crotch height? Was he belly button?
Belly button?
Okay.
Yeah, but he was also probably hungover, so it's okay.
So they're a little hunching, so maybe just a little above the belly button.
Now, Angus and what's his brother's name? Malcolm?
Yeah.
Yeah. The two of them are the tallest chaps in the world, but Salma Hayek, I swear you'd like fit in my pocket or something. Like, she's just the cutest, curviest little thing. Anyway.
Well, so you're not that tall, Steve.
He's just a little guy too.
I mean, and then you may also ask, Steve, who's the tallest fucking celebrity you've met?
The tallest celebrity you've met?
I hung around in basketball circles, so I met a bunch. Mark Eaton, 7'5", just like the biggest averagely proportioned dude you've ever seen in your life. R.I.P.
From far, like in photos, he looks like a regular guy.
But yeah, if he's, you know, 100 feet away and everybody else is like 10 feet away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks.
Yeah. But that's kind of how you look. Like when you walk up, everybody just assumes I'm short.
Well, yeah, true.
I mean, I know Jim and Mike cannot attest to this at all. Right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jim, you came what, up to Steve's belly button?
I might have made it to his chest.
Yeah, he was definitely nipple height. No, I
think, Jim, you were taller than me, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm 5'7", so.
Oh, I'm 5'7" as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 5'7". I'm slightly smaller.
Yeah, but the Jim's afro is what puts it over the top.
It is the afro, yeah.
I have the Fletch afro.
All right, so yeah, 6 seasons, and basically my little rundown of the seasons I have here is, all right, season one, we get the intros of the main cast, talk about the gathering and everybody coming around, chopping heads off, and then we get the world building of the city, definitely not Vancouver.
Nope.
Like, I think they're trying to imply it's LA, but it's Vancouver, and it's just called the city.
Well, they actually call it Seacouver in one episode.
Oh, do they?
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, I just missed that. But then, like, what I get with almost every season, it was like, okay, half the season's going to be in the city, and then the other half is going to be on his houseboat or whatever in Pelly.
I was not expecting every season to be a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me wonder, it's like, okay, Vancouver in the winter, that's when they would go to Paris, probably, to shoot the other episodes or something.
Dude, but when they were shooting in Paris, every single interior shot, you can see people's breath.
Yeah, well, because it's winter.
For every season.
Because it's winter in Paris. Yeah, it's fantastic. But, of course, at the end of season one, that's where we get Darius!
Yes!
Darius! Yep, as Darius is killed on holy ground. How could this be? Because Horton and his watchers did it. No! Yeah.
And see, and there was no quickening. It was no quickening because he wasn't killed by another immortal.
That's right. Oh, what a waste. All we could have learned. Anyway. So that's another thing in the series I got to bring up. The lore in the movies is like, if you take someone's head, you gain their knowledge and their abilities, mm-hmm, and all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. I realize when it comes to like a TV series, you kind of have to stop that because everybody that Duncan's killing is basically a psycho. And so, but I think that make it for a great character arc where, I mean, we get a couple episodes where it's like, oh, we get the dark quickening and he has to battle his demons and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
Okay. So right up the Trouble in Building A or whatever,
yes,
the episode with basically a bank robbery.
No, it was the courthouse.
Courthouse, yes, that's what it was. That's right. and you know, there's like a hostage situation or whatever goes on in there. And then at the end, apparently we find out that I guess Duncan killed the janitor who was like the father.
The father of the little girl who was hiding.
Yeah. And it was like, wait, what? Yeah. But that's the end of the episode, and it's never referenced again.
But when Duncan leaves, he's like fucking deranged.
Yeah.
It's like the end of the season.
Yeah, it's...
All right, Mike, so did he kill the janitor? Because they don't actually say it.
Yeah. They just kind of infer it in the, like... news report over
afterwards,
over voiceover.
Yeah, like it's like going through news reports and it's like there were 7 bodies found, and Steve's like, yeah, because Duncan was shot, but Duncan
walked here. Out, so
who's the other body?
I thought the bad guy killed the Jan. It's been a while since I've seen this episode because it's like one of the worst episodes.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but and yeah, season 2, basically it's just the Watcher season. Like everybody's, you know, we're learning more about the Watchers and getting them into the story. And then season 3 is when we get the Kalis saga, where Kalis comes in for like a 5 or 6 episode arc. And we also Mythos.
By the way, Highlander, you hack Kalis is a Klingon god.
That's right. And he's not even played by J.G. Hertzler.
Right.
Anyway. And then, okay. And then we start getting into season 4. And basically, all I have for season 4 up until the end is the list of villains after Kalis. And it's Kalis, Killian, Kinman, Kincaid, Kit, Kamir, Kristen, Koltek, Kasim. And then the Dark Quickening in the finale of the 4th.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, there are other names and like consonant sounds out there.
No.
The writers got stuck on one page in the dictionary and they're like, okay, next name.
Well, then it continues into season 5 with Kronos, Kragan, Colbraith, Consone, Cassandra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they were big Mortal Kombat fans, so they wanted to have every name start with K.
Kitana. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, season 5 is where, yeah, Cassandra comes in and she's talking about like this whole prophecy that Duncan may be the one foretold in the prophecy. All stupid shit.
He is the only one who can take out the wizard who she trained, apparently.
Yeah. So that's a fun little thing. Oh, that's right. And Kronos and the four horsemen that Mythos was apparently part of.
Yes. The four horsemen, A, were real. B, apparently terrorized the witch. And C, was Mythos.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he did have a life before he met Duncan, okay?
I mean, several. From what it sounds like.
Yeah, I do. So I won't lie. I actually kind of liked this transformation for Mythos because it definitely like put into like, just because he doesn't fight doesn't mean he can't fight.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, something brought him to where he doesn't want to fight. So yeah, he survived that long. He probably has fought in the past. So you have to kind of include that.
There you go. And then at the end of season 5, oh man, babe, what happens?
Oh, are we gonna talk about that?
Of course we're gonna talk about it.
All right. Well, there's a Dark Quickening and Duncan's like slipping into madness and his demons.
The Dark Quickening of the season before. This one, he's going up against a demon.
Oh, that's right. He's going up against a real demon. That's right.
Who's playing mind games with him.
And looks like the guy from season 1 or season 2.
Yeah, Horton.
Yeah. And in all the madness and confusion, Duncan removes the head from a Richie who's trying to help him.
Yeah! And Steve fucking stood up and cheer. Finally, Richie's gone. Steve
legitimately slow clapped.
Like, oh man, like, I knew it was going to be Duncan that did it too.
We're in bed watching it.
Yeah.
End of a late day. It's like 10 o'clock at night. It happens. And we're both like, oh shit, did that really happen? And Steve's like, gets up and he's like, yeah.
And then he's like, show ever.
The series right here. We don't need any more.
Roll credits. Oh, wait, there's 15 episodes in season 6. I don't know.
to make Steve feel bad, the actor that played Richie Ryan, Stan Kirsch, committed suicide a few years ago.
Oh no.
I'm sorry, Richie. Or Stan, I guess. Oh, sorry, Stan. Steve got that.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
And Steve, don't feel bad. I think the Richie character was one of the most annoying in television history.
There you go. Yeah, so Richie and Jack, like they try doing things where it's like, oh yeah, he's gonna be a motorcycle racer and stuff like that at one point, but I don't know. It was one of those things where they were trying to make him like Robin to Duncan's Batman or whatever, like the Ward that learned or whatever, but he was always just, I don't know, kind of a stupid dipshit. He was almost like Amanda, but younger and stupider, just constantly getting into shit. I don't know.
He was a hoodlum. He was a punk.
Yeah.
On guard, you fool.
Babe, what did I refer to him as? The angel of the series, a.k.a. Angel from the Rockford Files.
Angel from the Rockford Files, yes. A.k.a. the most punchable character.
James Garner, why don't you take care of Angel? Oh, wait, that's right.
Angel saved his ass in prison, baby. It
literally, yeah, I know. They're so far once you're out of there, though, where it's like, okay.
So we're rewatching Rockford Files?
Let's do it. Why not?
I was going to say, they probably put Richie Ryan in there for the teen crowd, since this was syndicated on Saturday, so it's like, oh, we gotta have somebody for the kids to relate to on here. So
I like the 10-year-old that's really 300 years old episode. That's a classic. But yeah, season 6, yeah, Richie's gone and Duncan's going through some shit. I think between seasons he's like hanging out at a monastery in Thailand or something like that. Like he becomes a Buddhist monk or whatever. And then I think, yeah, the demon starts. That's right, he has to return to like finally take care of the demon that may or may not be the devil. I don't know. At this point I was like, oh, cool, they ran out of ideas because now the Highlander is taking on the devil. Great.
Yeah, it gets to that point. I'm like, this is so unrealistic. They bring the demon in. I can't get over to that. It's just unrealistic at that point.
Get back to killing the immortals.
Right.
And then as Michael mentioned several times, he cut his hair, and that's like it must be like Samson. Like this series just kind of goes down from there.
I don't know. He's an attractive man with long hair and with short hair, at least.
It's true.
Oh, he's a good-looking guy. He's not a heck of a lot more than that, but he is definitely a good-looking guy.
And then season 6 is like a bunch of spin-off episodes where it's like they're trying to do the Highlander spin-off because I guess Adrian Paul's done with it. So, yeah, I guess, Mike, do you have any favorite episodes that you'd like to mention?
One of my favorites was the season 3 opener, which was the Samurai, which is basically the backstory on how Mac, or otherwise known as Duncan, gets his sword.
And yeah, with it was the guy from Next Gen who was the master, the sword master or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Tamlin Tamita was his daughter, and yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good episode. A lot of those episodes that have like good flashbacks usually work out pretty well for me. The ones that Roger Daltrey are in are pretty good standouts, I would say, as well.
Nice. How about you, Jamie? Got any favorites?
The favorites, again, I kind of always like to see like the guest stars who I recognize. So like the Roddy Piper episode. But again, he plays just a goofball character, kind of how he always is and everything he's in. And then you get the, again, they had half of the stars of 21 Jump Street, when you had Peter DeLuise, who was in first season, and Dustin Nguyen was in late second season. And it's like, oh, they're just moving on to this television show now, too.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of like Oh yeah, I guess that show probably wrapped up in 1994, and so they popped in for an episode or two of those. And, yeah. Nice. How about you, baby? Any favorite episodes you want to bring up?
You know, honestly, the when they first introduced oh my god. Sorry guys, my brain is not fully functional. I'm gonna blame the pneumonia and lack of oxygen. His immortal girlfriend.
Oh, Amanda.
When the first episode they brought Amanda in when she was like trying to steal things from the Louvre and he was like turning her in and shit. I actually really enjoyed that episode, even though she was a huge pain in the ass. Like it was fun to see them sort of like playing with each other. And then again, like I kind of didn't love it in the moment, but looking back, I also like the one where Amanda joins the circus.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that one. The ones I have that came to mind. Duende, season 5, episode 14. In 1971, Ottavio Canzone, friend of the podcast, Anthony DeLongis, kills Anna's fiance and her father, the father of her unborn child. But we skip forward 25 years, and now Canzone is pursuing Anna's grown daughter, and Duncan is suspicious of his motives. And it was basically just the weirdness of this guy who used to bang his mom, but then killed her father, you know, before she was born, and then now 25 years later looks exactly the same, if not even more handsome, being on
right,
just, and is like trying to bang her, and then Duncan for some reason having questions about like, oh wait, this is what happened, oh I need to kill you, but then right. but also with that one there's some great sword fighting with
the
that sword
fighting is an with yeah the that style of sword sword
yeah,
fighting
yeah. This was the one with the circle with
yeah.
the very particular lines where I forget what DeLonge is called or whatever he mentioned it when we interviewed him, but
yeah,
like, but yeah, that whole the way that was shot and done and everything,
that was
and
very
the
good.
Flamenco dancing, because
yeah,
they were both flamenco dancers or whatever. The
yes.
her daughter, yeah, I just really liked that episode. The Darkness from season 2, episode 4. That's the one where Duncan like proposed to Tess, and then she was immediately kidnapped by the guy that used
yes.
the night vision goggles.
Yes,
and the ending of that episode is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Yep. Because okay, I'm gonna spoil it.
Yeah.
So Duncan goes in, you know, saves them, kills the guy. Richie's there, like outside, like as backup or something. Duncan goes in, frees Tess, kills the guy, or is like, Tess, get out of here, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Richie's waiting for you in the car.
Yep. Babe, what happens?
Tess gets out to there. Richie's like, oh my god, are you okay? And then a druggie comes up.
Yep.
And is like, give me your money. And they're like, no, now's not really a good time. And he pops two in each of them.
That's right. Tessa, dead. Richie, we find out he's immortal. And he's going to be the ward of Duncan for the next 4 seasons.
So in the same way that Steve Slow collapsed when Richie was beheaded, this happened. And it had a lot. Yeah, the long pause on the two corpses. And I hear, no, 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 no.
Yeah, I hear the music swelling, and I'm like, don't you fucking dare bring Richie back. And then I'm like, he is in over 100 episodes. I remember that looking up.
And then when Richie wakes up, Steve jumps up and says, no, no, you don't do that. No. I believe even they were like, bad TV.
No. What are some other ones? Oh yeah, the one where Richie dies at the end, Archangel season.
Yeah.
And I really like the Four Horsemen saga. Like that was only like what 3 or 4 episodes kind of in season 5 there, but I just enjoyed the like, oh, Mythos was really an asshole before, you know, he decided to lay low and, you know, be a watcher and then, you know, reveal himself to Duncan and all that, but what happened the, you know, 4800 years before that? Like, yeah. All right, well, I guess going around, anyone have any least favorite episodes they'd like to bring up? Jim, why don't you go first?
Okay, least favorite. I will go season six, like episodes one and two, when he's fighting the demon.
Yeah. It was,
I'm just like, I can just pass and just, let's just go to the end. You can just kill Duncan off here soon.
Yeah. Let's talk about season six in general. It starts off with him being the devil.
My least favorite episode.
Well, what's your least favorite?
Definitely the Egyptian one.
Yeah, you really didn't like Nefertiti.
I really did not like Nefertiti. And then, like, her fucking Romulus or whatever of Rome.
Her Romulus of Rome?
Remember the Roman soldier was trying to, like, talk to her.
And he's
going to kill me.
Yeah, definitely not Mark Anthony or whatever. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then... Yeah, pretty much all of season six was rough.
Yes.
The Dark Quickening episode wore on me. Yeah. Like, it just grated my nerves.
How about you, Mike?
Least favorite episode is one called Obsession, which is like in the middle of season three. And that basically dealt with one of Mac's immortal friends kind of being an asshole in this dating relationship where he revealed to his fiance that he was immortal and she was trying to get out of that relationship, and like a lot of that episode, and a lot of that episode is like a clip show as well. I feel like maybe something went wrong with shooting where they lost footage, so they had to like put in other footage from other episodes, and this happens a couple of times in some of the other episodes.
Darius.
that's always nice to see, but it's not an Obsession at all.
Yeah.
And like Mac and Duncan has like this mumble monologue during one point of it, and it's just awful.
Yeah. So the one that always comes to mind is season four, episode three, The Innocent. And that's the one with Pruitt and Taylor is the
Mikey,
the special needs.
That's a rough episode too.
And you may be wondering, how does he make it so long if he's special needs? Well, there's like two other immortals that kind of watch over him, but then they're killed off, and the guy that killed them off now wants Mikey's head too for whatever reason.
Because he wanted to finish the job.
And Richie
was the guy trying to kill him, New Ray from
Cal and Keith Rennie. Yes, I think it was the bad guy. Yeah.
If anybody out there watched Due South, it was New Ray, not old.
Or Battlestar Galactica, or the dozens of
other shows. He's only been on Due South.
Cal and Keith Rennie. I think he's still popping up in like Marvel things. Anyway,
I think so.
But yeah, there's a lot of trains involved, and I love how Richie's the one that's like, "No, we got to help him, Duncan." And Duncan's kind of like, "Look, if it's not this guy, it's going to be the next guy." I'm not into like babysitting.
And then they sort of hinted at that, like his aura or whatever, he's definitely taken some heads.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause you know, he gets the pull from Cal and Keith Rennie and everybody when they're around. And basically at the end, Mikey ends up taking his own life by laying his head on the train tracks as a train comes by and Richie gets his quickening. And I was like, oh my God, Richie's going to be Simple Jack. It's gonna be great.
No, but no, he does get really. He does get a train for his room.
He sure does. Oh, great episode. No, and
I always thought of that one. Like, why would you want to take his head? Because would that just make you worse?
that's the real question, right? Mike, I'm terribly sorry. The season five, episode 15, The Stone of Skun. The flashback episode with Hugh Fitzcairn tricking Duncan into helping him steal the crown jewels. Meanwhile, in modern day, Duncan tricks Amanda into helping steal the Stone of Skun. So he can return. The tone of that one was just all over the fucking place.
Yeah, they really
couldn't stand either of them fucking Duncan over just because he's a nice guy. And I was just like, skip.
Yeah, that one is horrible. I kind of forgot about that one. Not every episode that Roger Daltrey in is great. I know that one's pretty bad.
Look, here's the thing. Not every episode that Roger Daltrey's in is great. Roger Daltrey is great in every episode he's in.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good in it, but yeah, I remember overall.
It's not his fault that episode sucks.
Yeah, the one where they're trying to solve his murder mystery or whatever in season six, that's not a great one either, but at least it's like, okay, this one's at least going like, I don't know, it's trying to be like Agatha Christie, Benoit Blanc kind of,
right?
You know, that kind of Murder, She Wrote kind of thing. We're like, I need to find out who killed me. Meanwhile, I'm just going to hide in suits of armor and totally peep on everybody and be the worst spy ever. I don't know, but yeah. And then, season six in general, starts off with, Duncan beating the demon or the devil or whatever in a few episodes. And then we get the spinoff episode with Kyra, played by Sandra Hess, Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat Annihilation. There's that Black Tower video game episode or whatever.
Oh, so that was weird. Not great.
The Fitzcarron murder mystery. There's the Immortal Bounty Hunter Regan spinoff. That might have actually worked.
There's that one where Mephos and... why did I just forget his name?
Mephos and Joe?
Joe?
Yeah, Mephos and Joe, like they team up for like an episode. And
yep. The Two of Hearts episode where at the beginning I thought it was brother and sister until we saw them post-coitus.
Oh my God,
like,
yeah.
Whoa, what? Whoa, yeah. What's happening?
I legit thought they were brother and sister. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be cool. They're going to be like twin immortals or something.
Yeah, and said it was, she was immortal and he's just a guy that, I guess they've been together a couple years or whatever, but I'm assuming it was when he was 16, but now he's 40, I don't know. And then, the whole finale with Duncan, I don't know, being in the afterlife and like looking back on the past episodes and I don't know, trying to figure everything out. I don't know, season six in general is just kind of a mess, but you're wrapping up the series, you're trying to spin off the new one. I get it, but it's like, I gotta like it. It's basically like season six and seven of Murder, She Wrote, where they were just trying to like, well, in case Angela Lansbury doesn't come back or doesn't make it, let's see if we can spin off the episode, a series about a football player and a dog or a poodle. It was a real thing. Look it up, guys. I don't know. I guess, guys, the Highlander series, it's on Tubi.
Yeah.
Would we recommend watching it? I mean, I'll say yes. It's crazy. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Watch it twice instead of Supernatural.
There you go. How about you guys?
I'd say yes. Watch seasons 1 through 5.
Yeah. Once Richie's dead, that's going to be the
one. That's really where you should end it.
I actually enjoyed the last like two episodes, kind of the one where it's what would it be like if if he wasn't right. there.
If that's right. it's like It's a Wonderful Life, but with Duncan MacLeod. Yeah.
So I had definitely, and that's like episode 14, season 6 or something, or 13, whatever.
Yeah, 13 and 14, whatever. Yeah, the last two episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also for that, you kind of have to watch the first 5 seasons just to get the
context. Oh, yeah. So you know who all the characters are. Like, why do they care about this guy? What do you care about this guy for? And
Well, that's just it. The first time we watched, Endgame and The Source, we didn't know who the fuck Mephos was. We didn't know who Joe was. We barely knew who Duncan was. And so when they, somebody walk on screen and the music swells or whatever, we're like, who the fuck's this asshole?
Right. We're like, what the fuck is a watcher? Do they just like sit in the corner and masturbate?
Yeah,
or?
Exactly. Like, yeah, take his head. Oh, God.
I mean, like the way they all talk about the watchers, if you have zero context, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. We merely document and observe. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, we just observe, except this entire series.
Yeah, except every single time I hang out with Duncan in 93 episodes. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. Jim, are you, I understand you also have a podcast?
Yes, I do. I am with a few of my friends. We do, it's the History of Bad Ideas, or otherwise known as Hobie. We release episodes on Tuesdays every week. We talk about pretty much what's going on in pop culture and what's going on in the world today.
Excellent.
Except politics. That's down the hall.
There you go. And since we're kind of skipping like what we learned, any final thoughts on Highlander that you'd like to share?
Final thoughts on Highlander. Again, I didn't have the. I saw a lot of the show before the movies came. The other movies came out, so I knew who the characters were when Endgame and those things came, or so. I watch them in order if you want to watch them.
Yeah, makes sense. Yes. Michael Backford, thank you so much for joining us. I understand you also have a social media presence.
Yes, I'm on Fred's Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky. I do an album a day on my social medias. I'm also on a lot of podcasts. Speaking of Roger Daltrey, we haven't recorded it yet, but there's going to be an upcoming Rock Solid episode where Ooh. I talk about the solo career of Roger Daltrey.
Ooh. Very nice. Album a day. Have you done the Highlander soundtrack?
There is no official Highlander soundtrack for the original film. I think the closest to it is Queen's A Kind of Magic, which has the songs from Highlander, but there's like a couple of other songs, but they could have easily done a Highlander soundtrack because there's like a couple. Yeah. There's six or seven at least in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like an alternate mix of one of the songs that didn't get released on The Kind of Magic and like the New York songs not on anything. So they could do an official soundtrack.
I think we're prepared for that. not the best version, in my opinion, but
no. But, still, but I mean, it'd be nice to have, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a compilation on YouTube or something.
I'm sure.
Nice. And any final thoughts on Highlander?
Yeah, it was watching the series. It was an enjoyable watch. It's probably the best way that the Highlander story is explained, because even though the original Highlander film is great, there was not really a lot of time to flesh out the mythology and all of that. And the sword fighting's a lot better in the series as well. And since you get more time with Duncan, it's kind of why I kind of like Duncan a little bit better than Connor, even though I do like Connor McLeod fine too. It's an enjoyable watch. I mean, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's definitely worth your time if you do want to watch this series.
Nice. Yeah, you mentioned the sword fighting, and there's definitely like the sword fighting is better, and there's, you know, great sword fighting, like when he's fighting like Anthony DeLongis or someone who knows what they're doing or whatever, as compared to like if Richard Lynch is the bad guy in the episode. Yeah. But yeah, they definitely match it to the actor. Yes. On the other end, or whoever the stunt double might be. But yeah.
And I have to say, Adrian Paul did a decent job. He definitely gets better through the series with the sword.
Yeah,
but even at the beginning, he's a little clumsy, but you can see that he's tried.
Yeah.
As opposed to, there's definitely a few episodes where you can tell his co-star has not tried.
Babe, are you on social media at all?
I might be currently.
Oh, wow.
You can find me everywhere. Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social media and I'm almost out of breath, so that's where I'm going to go. Steve, where can we find you?
any last thoughts on Highlander before you go?
And here we are.
Thanks, babe. You'll never guess how the end of this episode is going to be. Of course, you can find us on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies, or hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. That's
Everything I Learned from Movies.
Maybe I need to hit the higher notes this time.
You're going to have to. Yeah. They're not there
right now. Everything I Learned from Movies, yeah. but yeah, we're everywhere. Yeah, guys, coming up later this month, we're going to be talking about Highlander Endgame and Highlander the Source. Will it get better or worse from here? Let's find out.
I'm going to enjoy the Source, right, Steve? It's going to be a good film.
You know what? I see on IMDb, it's at least 3 out of stars. I don't know how many stars exactly, but
3 out of 4, right? It's not like 3 out of 10 or...
Yeah, so join us for episode Highlander of the Source with Michael Backford joining us.
Yeah.
I think even Endgame, we're going to have somebody on the podcast who actually had a Highlander podcast. So that should be interesting with an actual professional who knows everything about the series and can answer all of our dumb questions.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah, ask them the fetus question.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming. So yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
And this is
Everything I Learned from Movies.
And here we are.
We're the princes of the universe.
Yeah.